All right, welcome back. Hour number four, Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Thanks again to Jeff Reardon. And it's a reason we're a couple of minutes late with Gord Miller, but he's kind of used to that. Along with Mitch Gallo and Dave Trentadue sitting in for Rod Francis, who will probably be back tomorrow. Mitch Melnick until 7, full hour of soccer talk at 7 with Noel Butler and Oranges at halftime. It's a pleasure to always welcome every Wednesday after 6 from TSN. Gord Miller, how you doing?
I'm good. Little Chuck Berry, I love it.
Yeah.
Met the man.
You met Chuck Berry?
Had a drink with Chuck Berry at the bar at the Plaza Hotel in New York in 1995.
Okay. And the rest of the story is?
Well, I was there covering the NHL lockout, and that was the Plaza was where all the talks were. And I was there for 40 days.
There is a great song.
40 days at the Plaza. And, yeah. Chuck Berry was staying there for a week, and he joined us for a bunch of us for a drink at the Oak Bar at the Plaza.
Well, let's play a little game, shall we?
Sure.
I think you got me on this one. I had a drink at the old Maples Inn, which burned to the ground many years ago, which is a great venue out on the West Island here in Montreal, with Levon Helm in between sets. He was playing with the Kate brothers after the band broke up. And at the 82 World Series, very young Melnick was covering the 82 World Series between Milwaukee and St. Louis. And covering that World Series for CBS Radio was one of my baseball heroes, Bill Veeck.
Oh, wow.
And I heard all these stories about the wooden leg and the cutout ashtray in the wooden leg. And there was the wooden leg and him dipping the ashes off his cigarette, holding court, into that ashtray on his wooden leg. It was an unbelievable night.
But that's great.
But Chuck Berry, I think that who's the most famous person you ever had a drink with, guys? Can't be Chuck Berry, can you?
No, obviously not.
Tonight you'll meet Billy Joe Armstrong after Green Day's in town. Yeah,
there you go. I love Green Day.
Gord, help me out here a little bit.
Okay,
like keep on this track. I like where we are right now because I am kind of Galchenyuk fatigued here.
Oh, I can imagine. You are. I haven't done a radio show about it today, and I'm fatigued about it.
I think he's a centerman. I think I understand why they're doing this, but I look at them down the middle as they are right now, and I Deneau, Shaw, Plekanec, McCarron, or Steve Ott. I don't know. What do you think?
So we are talking Galchenyuk?
Well, unless you can, take me somewhere else.
I think. I don't always defer to authority, but this is the second coach in a row now who's not comfortable with him at center. And he's 23 years old. It takes some time. And I think the problem is that the Montreal Canadiens are a good team and the window's open. They can't afford to wait for him to develop. They can't afford for him to have a bad first-round series. It's okay, we'll get him next year. And so I guess that's the problem. When I watch the Montreal Canadiens, he doesn't look out of place at center. Yes, there are times he looks a little lost in his own zone, but that takes time. I mean, and I hate to use the example, Nazem Kadri was the top 10 pick of the draft, and it took him 5-6 years to figure it out. And now he's a really reliable second/third-line center who can face off against anyone in the league. But look, I just watched Toronto play Chicago and Boston back-to-back. Auston Matthews didn't get a sniff against Jonathan Toews or Patrice Bergeron. Mike Babcock kept him away from those two guys like you couldn't believe.
Yeah, so, it's an interesting dynamic being played out. You're not going to say, now that you're this close, this late in the season, we don't want to get the playoffs. We weren't expecting you. So there's that balancing act of a coach wanting to win games, but at the same time developing players.
Right. Claude Julien was not brought in to develop players. He was brought in to win regular season games and, more importantly, make some playoff runs. I mean, this team is really in its prime, right? The window's open. You've got Carey Price for this year and next. That's all you got him under contract for. You've got to strike now. And if the Canadiens flame out in the first round of the playoffs, that may affect whether or not Price wants to stay. So, I mean, you can't mess around with this stuff. And that, Galchenyuk wasn't great the other night, and that happens. But this is the National Hockey League. They're not there to coddle people, make them feel better about themselves. They're there to win games. And if you can't help me win games, then you got to move over or be out of the lineup.
So as far as the Canadiens at center ice, who do you think the coach is more comfortable with in the top line spot?
Well, that's what I don't understand. Like, I mean, if they had a realistic alternative, that's what I don't know. And I hate to keep referring to Toronto here, but, you know, William Nylander is going to be a center in the NHL. Mike Babcock's not comfortable with him there right now, but they have other options. I'm not sure who do they like better than Galchenyuk.
Well, Phil Deneau is getting Radulov and Pacioretty. That doesn't mean that they think he's a better centerman, certainly offensively. They can't believe that.
But he might be a better fit
at the moment.
But they're more comfortable with him defensively. And we've talked about this repeatedly. And the problem in the NHL is that, to use the pool analogy, it's not what you make, it's what you leave. And the problem in the NHL is if you leave too much, then you're going to get beat. Because in the NHL, you can't outscore your mistakes. You just can't. And so coaches are always going to be more comfortable with a player who's responsible defensively and limited offensively. And I think I've told you this before. Jacques Martin, the playoffs 12 years ago, Jody Hull was hurt. And Jacques Martin put Jason Spezza in. He had no choice. Spezza had 4 points in 2 games. When Hull was healthy, Spezza came back out. How can you take a guy out of the lineup with 4 points in 2 games? And Jacques Martin was just more comfortable with Jody Hull. It sounds ridiculous, but that's the way the game is now. It just, risk-taking is not the way to success, unfortunately.
Well, you mentioned Nylander. There's another situation playing out most of this year in Edmonton, right, with Draisaitl and McDavid. Draisaitl's going to be a centerman and a damn good one in the NHL, but right now he's riding shotgun with McDavid.
And they drafted him to be a centerman. The whole idea was he would plug into that spot, and it just hasn't worked for him. Look, it's a hard position to play. And you know, you saw Chicago go through there. I mean, you look at Jonathan Toews. I mean, that's a complete player. And if you make a tiny mistake, he'll make you pay.
And the thing about that game, though, Gord, is that Galchenyuk played well against Toews that night. He had trouble against Pageau, but he played well against Toews.
Yeah, he did. And that's, you know, and you know, I only saw parts of the game last night. You know, he had a tough night against Detroit. I mean, that's like the other guys have NHL players too. And I'm the guy preaching patience to young players more than anyone. I think you got to be patient and let them develop and give them confidence. And confidence only comes from doing. You only gain confidence from doing. You don't get confidence from being told or from being coddled. You get it from trying something hard and achieving it. And you got to give a guy a chance. I don't want to second-guess Claude Julien, but I'm not sure one game is a reason to move a guy to the wing. Now, it's obviously more than one game, but I still think he's your better option. But Claude Julien knows a lot more about coaching than I do, so I'll defer to him.
Really? Is this an admission on live radio?
It's an absolute admission. Okay. I think we have to recognize that, you know, the people that are making these decisions have access to a lot more information than we do. Watch breakdown video, I mean, until they're blue in the face, they know more about it than we do.
Now, maybe they're trying to hide him now by putting him over to the wing, but eventually they will get him back to center. I'm fully convinced of that. They will get him back to center. Alex, too great a talent offensively to have him loitering over on the left side. He's got to be a centerman. He's got to be a dominant player through the middle of the ice in all three zones.
Loitering on the left side.
So that's true. I mean, so we're saying Max Pacioretty's loitering on the wing?
Yeah, but he never played center. That's the thing. Oh. I guess that's what he's talking about. All right, let me get to the playoff race here before we run out of time with Gord Miller every Wednesday after 6 on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690 along with Mitch Gallo and Dave Trenadue. He's in for Rod Francis. He'll be back tomorrow. The Leafs in Columbus tonight. That's a tough one. The Rangers are hosting the Islanders. The Islanders 3 points back. I mentioned earlier in the show, the fans in Boston are starting to get a little squirmish here.
They are. I think Boston's got enough points in the bank to make it. So I think Boston's okay. But what you've seen, and this is unprecedented, Mitch, since this playoff format was adopted 25 years ago, there has never been an example where 5 teams from one conference that made the playoffs 1 year missed the next. And that could happen in the East this year. Tampa, Detroit, Philadelphia, the Islanders, and Florida are all likely to miss the playoffs. And they all made it last year. That's never happened to 5 teams from one conference before. Like, I'm amazed how Florida, Tampa, especially, the Flyers have thrown it in reverse here down the stretch.
Yeah, go ahead, Gallo.
Well, I was just going to say, it's funny because last year we didn't have any Canadian teams in the playoffs. And this year we could have Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, Calgary, Edmonton.
Yeah, you could have five this year. And I think, I mean, Toronto's chances, I think, are up around 80% now. I mean, Ottawa's in, Montreal's in, Edmonton's in, Calgary's in. The West is over, basically, because LA's gone right down the sewer. So it's over in the West, and it's really, you know, it's getting close to over in the East. I think Tampa, the loss to Arizona last night, really cripples their chances.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed to start with the loss against Toronto. That Toronto seemed to get a second win from that win in Tampa, and the reverse happened in Tampa. But, you know, in fairness, maybe they've been overachieving all year, right, and they're just running out of gas?
Yeah, and I think every year we see a team go on a run kind of out of nowhere. The Flyers did it last year. Ottawa did it the year before. And the hard part is to go back, right? So Ottawa 2 years ago made the playoffs and missed the following year. Flyers made the playoffs last year, probably going to miss this year. And is that Toronto this year? I don't know. But the one key thing is, and I know you don't like this, Mitch, but the key thing is don't lose games in regulation, right? So you look at Toronto, they get an overtime loss against Chicago. They get a point, right? Like, just keep getting points. Keep getting points.
Well, like the Habs last night, right?
Like, that's not a loss. You don't get a point for losing. It's not a loser point. You get a point for going to overtime. You get an extra point for winning in overtime or the shootout, but you get a point for going to overtime.
Because of what you just mentioned, this is the first time we could see the teams that had made the playoffs the year before and not get in next year, five of them. There's so much talk because of the situation in not the Habs division, in the Met division with Washington, Pittsburgh, Columbus, and the Rangers. There's calls to change the format and all this. It's not like this happens every year. Do you think they should, because of this season, pick up and change it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I can understand why fans of the Rangers would be upset when you've got like the fifth best record in the league and you're going to be the seventh seed in your conference. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But you also play an unbalanced schedule. Right, you don't play a balanced schedule, so it's hard to say who the absolute best teams really are. The NHL loves these divisional rivalries. I can see why. Look at the possible matchups in the Atlantic Division. You know, you could have Montreal versus Ottawa, or Ottawa Toronto, or any combination. You know, Boston Montreal could happen. I mean, I can see why, because it sells tickets. Right, those matchups sell tickets.
I mean, you mentioned New York. I think the team that's going to get screwed worse than anybody is Columbus. They're going to end up with like 110 points, and they're going to end up with Pittsburgh in the first round. Seems unfair.
But Chicago and St. Louis were doing that every year. And look, you know how I feel, as unfair as it might be, and I understand that in the first round. If you're a Stanley Cup caliber team, you're going to prove it.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, is you got to remember, one of the reasons this format was designed this way was to try to stop the Western teams from having to travel so much, right? So that, you know, Detroit in the first round is playing Anaheim or San Jose, right? With all the, and conversely, the California teams having to go to, you know, play Nashville in the first round or Chicago or in the previous days, Detroit. It wasn't fair. So they're trying to keep teams in their division as much as possible to minimize the travel.
Henry drops it back to Zaitsev. He's across, Henry in that center, then Bozak. There, he scores! Tyler Bozak, power play goal, and the Leafs will take it away. Moments after, an unbelievable Tuukka Rask right-hand save. Carlo can't clear the puck. Kept it at the point. Now Kadri's going to be able to rejig the power play.
Now, that was impressive, but the best part...
I'll sign a stick over, is that what he just said?
Yes, he did. That's actually always a really good line. You ask the other guy if you want an autograph.
That was some of the best 90 seconds of hockey coverage all year.
I was in the cab with Ray yesterday when you were talking with him, and I love that segment he did about trash talk and the things guys say to each other. One of my favorite lines of the year was to Jamie McLennan. I won't say who the player was, but Chris Weidman of Ottawa was chirping this guy. And the guy went to Jamie and said, give me your roster. Who is this guy number six who's yelling at me? I don't know him. Right. To
he delivered one of the best lines that I can repeat that I've heard when I've been between the benches. They were playing a game, and there was a ruckus in front of the net, and he skated by the opponent's bench, and he goes really slowly in front of their bench, and he goes, "Hey guys, I know you wanted to punch him in the face, so I did it for you. I punched him right in the face for you."
And then there's a ray on Steve Ott. Yeah. I think I interrupted you, Gord.
No, Brian Marchment skated by the Boston bench, and Brian Sutter was coaching the Bruins, and said, "Every single guy on this bench hates your guts. None of them can stand you. Look at them. They're all laughing when they say it because they know it's true. Every guy on your team hates your guts." And the players in the Bruins don't know what to say, right? They don't look back. They can't look forward. They just look down.
Well, it was like a Pacioretty last year. Somebody on Ottawa, I'm not sure who it was, said that, you know, and I'm not saying this to make light of Pacioretty or anything or embarrass him. It happened, and it was reported on the broadcast. The guy between the benches, it was Glenn Healy. He said Ottawa's yelling at Pacioretty that the guys on your own bench hate you.
And they say that all the time, and that's right. Players say that to each other all the time, right? Your own guys think, you know, your own guys think you're an idiot.
Yeah. And in some cases they do, right?
Well, I mean, the stuff that gets said is, I mean, it really is. I mean, there are boundaries. There's places you don't go. You don't go after kids. You don't go after, you know, family stuff for the most part. But
even at playoff time?
Even at playoff time. I mean, but there's stuff, I mean, oh my God, like some of the stuff that gets said is just horrible.
I'd love to put a mic on Andrew Shaw once the playoffs start.
Well, we had a, who do we have mic? We had a mic on a player in Colorado when Bob Hartley was coaching. I forget who it was. And he said to the referee, "Just toss him out, please. None of us will say anything." we didn't air it. But just please toss him out. None of us will say anything.
Newfound respect for Gord Miller drinking with Chuck Berry back in the day at the Plaza in New York. Have a great week. Thanks as always.
My pleasure. Talk to you next Wednesday.
Bye-bye. We're talking to the judge in a private early this morning. It took me to the sheriff's office to sign a warning. You're gonna go across charge again. That'd be the very thing that's in. I'm gonna see that she'll be back.